Amen. Now, I would like to do something different tonight. I have been, over the last year, teaching different men of our church how to preach. I've got a couple guys going through right now. Well, we had a couple guys. We have one guy going through right now. And part of doing that is I teach him how to do public speaking and how that fits into preaching. And I tell him, you know, one of the things you got to do is you want to introduce what you're going to say. That's called an introduction, right? Pretty simple. You do an introduction. Purpose of the introduction is to kind of introduce what you're about to say. And that is the beginning way of preaching. And I want you to know I'm not going to do that tonight. What I'd like to do tonight is I would like to kind of deal with a question that often is asked but sometimes not answered, fact in history, and it really has nothing to do with what I'm going to speak about tonight. But it's probably something that might give you cause to question. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis 4:17. Cain lay with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son Enoch. Cain lay with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. And that's in verse 17. I want you to know tonight, we will be looking at verse 1 to 16, so we will not get to verse 17 except for right now. Sunday night on July 4th weekend is normally not a time when you get a lot of people coming to church. So we are glad you are here tonight. But I thought maybe we'd do something a little different tonight and try to answer a question that has often been asked. And it's this. Where did Cain get his wife? You know, the Bible tells us, and we as Christians believe, that God created Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had children. Those children had children, and we have population we have today. But often the attack against Christianity is, now wait a minute. Where did Cain get his wife? If everybody came from Adam and Eve, where in the world did Cain's wife come from? Do you know that that question was asked at the Scopes trial? How many of you know what the Scopes trial is? Oh, boy. Scopes trial has affected every one of you in one way or another. The Scopes trial is that trial that happened many years ago in the United States. In fact, it was 1925. And Clarence Darrow asked the question, where did Cain get his wife? It is the Scopes trial that allowed evolution to be taught in the United States as part of the theory of where man came from, and then ultimately which supplanted the teaching of creation, biblical creation, in our public schools. So you want to remember, it was the Scopes trial that did that. Well, during that trial, Clarence Darrow was part of the trial, and he was on the non-Christian side of the trial, and he asked this question, and it was never answered in the Scopes trial. Where did Cain get his wife? In fact, this question has often been asked of Christians down through the years many different times to try to make a mockery of Christianity. You cannot with this question. Although the answer is not clear, let's go to God's Word and see what we have from God's Word to help us answer the question. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So we know that when God created the heaven and the earth, during that process, the sixth day of that process, in fact, that God created man. So that we know there was a point in life, or a point in the history of the earth, where there was only one human being alive on this earth. Now, it didn't last for long, because before the day was out, God created woman, God created Eve, but at some point there was only one man that God had created. Skip over to chapter 3 of Genesis. Genesis 3 and verse 20. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. So we know from God's word, unless you want to deny the word of God, unless you want to say the word of God is not true, we know that the Bible says that everyone who's alive, everyone who has ever lived, they all came from Eve. And we know that Eve only had one husband, so we know then that all who are alive, all who have ever lived, came from Adam and Eve. They were their children, because Eve was the mother of all the living. Chapter 4, verse 1. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant, and she gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. So we know that the first recorded child of Adam and Eve, was Cain. So the first man who ever lived was Adam. Adam married Eve. God brought Eve for Adam because it was not good for man to be alone. God brought Adam and Eve together. They were the first married couple. They had children. The first recorded child in the Bible of theirs is Cain. Cain is the first child that is recorded. Skip over to Genesis chapter 5. We know, as we'll see in a minute, that they had another child named Abel. But in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 4, well, let's go to verse 3. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived 930 years and then he died. So we know that after Abel died, it's 130 years, he then has Seth, and then we know that he also has, in the following 800 years, a whole bunch of other children. Now, we're not told how many children he had, but we know that he had many other children. I was listening the other day, and I wish I had remembered all the details of it. But somebody was telling me on the news about this lady that was married for like 23 years and had 22 children. Where did we hear that? We heard that somewhere. Connie and I either were told or was on the news, but you can have a lot of kids in a lot of time, or in a very short period of time, especially if you have twins or triplets or quintuplets or whatever. You can have a lot of kids, and Adam and Eve probably had a lot of kids. So, if Adam and Eve are the first parents, they are the first married couple, they are the parents of all the living, we know that Cain at some point found the wife, married that wife, lay with his wife, and had a child, then we know there's only one possibility, that Cain married his sister. That during the time of these children being born, that Adam and Eve had other children, and part of those children was at least one of those children was a girl, and he married his sister. Now you might say, oh, that's disgusting. Well, I want you to know, guys, every one of us has married our sister. All of us are children of Adam and Eve. Therefore, all of us have married our sister. Now, down through the ages, the line has been separated quite a bit, but really, since we're all children of God, we ultimately have all married our sisters. You say, but wait a minute, didn't the Bible command against that? Well, it did. In Leviticus chapters 18 through 20, God gave Moses a law and it forbid the marrying of your sister. But remember, this is many, many, many years after Adam and Eve having their children. You might say, well, wait a minute, doesn't our present day laws say that you should not marry a close relative? And the answer to that is, yes, our present-day laws do that. And you say, but, well, don't they say you shouldn't do that because somehow if you do that, the possibility of having children who are deformed is greater than if you marry someone who's a little further out? And the answer is yes. What they're basically saying is you need to marry a relative that's further out than a relative who is close, because we are all relatives in one way or another. But realize over the years, because of sin, because of all that has happened in our world, the gene pool has gotten all messed up like everything else in our society because of sin. Therefore, if you marry a close relative, yes, there's a much greater chance of having a child who has been deformed. So what is the answer to the question, where did Cain get his wife? The answer, just like all of us today, is that he married his sister. We all do that today, only it's a whole bunch separated. But ultimately, since we're all God's children, we're ultimately all related. Turn to Genesis chapter 4. So I hope that helps answer that question. Genesis chapter 4, let me give you four thoughts tonight. Number one, beware of false religion. What can we learn from the life of Cain? Beware of false religion. Verse 1, Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks. Real important to notice this, Abel kept flocks. Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought forth some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor, so Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Now you might say, what in the world does this have to do with false religion? I want you to know, on this very day is when false religion began. Let me show you. Let's compare the brothers. Cain is the older brother. Abel is the younger brother. Cain's job in life was to work the soil. He was a farmer. Abel, the younger brother, kept flocks. So he was a sheep herder. He was one who would, you know, take care of the animals. When it came time to bring God an offering, the older brother Cain, he brought the first fruits of the soil. Why did he do that? Well, he did that, let me just say this up front, he did that because that's what he did. He was a farmer, therefore he brought the first fruits of the soil. What did Abel bring? Abel brought the fat portions of the flock. Now, when we look at Cain's offering, the Bible says, basically, that God looked at favor with Abel's offering, which means on Cain's offering, he did not. So we can say it this way, God did not accept Cain's offering. Cain brought the best of what he had, he offered his best, and God said no. Abel brought his offering, that which he did, God looked at his offering, God said yes. What's the difference? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, listen to it, here's what it says. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. So Abel's offering was better than Cain's. Abel's offering was accepted by God, Cain's was not. God accepted Abel's, he did not accept Cain's. But there's a little phrase in here that tells us why. It says, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. Now, in order to understand what's going on here, we need to understand what faith is. Faith is not a blind leap in the dark. Faith is not coming out and saying, I hope if I jump off this stage and I jump on that chair is going to hold me and I'm not going to fall on the ground. I know the chair will hold me. I'm sure my back will not hold me. But faith is not coming out and saying, I hope that's going to happen. Faith is always based in fact. Always. Faith is always based in fact. It's not something where I think or I hope or I imagine or I think maybe possibly. Okay, therefore it's faith. Faith is always based in the fact of God's word. So faith basically says, I've heard the word of God, I know it is God's word, I believe what God has said, and I am going to follow it, I am going to live it, I am going to obey it. Why? Because God said it. So Abel's offering was given by faith. So we know then that even though it's not recorded in the word of God, that God must have told Cain and Abel what God wanted as a sacrifice. And you might say, how are you taking this leap? Well, I'm taking the leap because of what I believe the Bible says about faith. Somewhere along the line, God told Cain and Abel, look, when you come and you offer an offering, this is what I want you to offer. Abel said, okay, I will give you what you want. Cain said, no. Cain said, I'm going to give you my best. And I'm going to give you what I want to give you. You know what false religion is really at its base ground level? The false religion simply says, I'm going to give my best to God, no matter what God has said he wants, and I expect God to accept it. Right? I'm going to give God my best, and isn't that what people say? I'm going to get to heaven because I'm doing my best. I'm going to get to heaven because I'm sincere. I'm going to get to heaven because I'm religious. I'm going to get to heaven because I'm good to my wife, or I'm good to my husband, or I'm good to my neighbor. I'm going to get there because I'm trying to do the best I can. Irregardless of what God might have said. That is false religion. And that is where the majority of religions, in fact, that's where all the religions are today except for one, Christianity. They all say, if not verbally, I'm giving God my best. It really doesn't matter what God has said because I'm giving him my best, therefore he ought to accept it. And that's what Cain did. Cain basically said, I know what God wants. I don't want to give God that. I want to give God my best. My best is what I do. I'm a farmer. I'm going to give him the best of my crops to show God how hard I've worked, to show God how well I have done. I'm going to give God my best. God, here it is. I want you to think of the dynamics within the family for a moment. How many of you have an older brother? Oh, quite a few of you. All right. How many of you have an older brother and you're also a guy? Some of you were wondering, right? Never mind. Older brother and a guy. Okay, that's me. I have two older brothers. And I am a guy. I have two older brothers and I'm a guy, right? Now, I know what it's like being in a family. There's no chance in the world, or very slim chance, unless a brother has been completely humbled, that they are ever going to go to a younger brother for help. So if Cain was going to get this thing right, he would have had to have gone to Abel and said to Abel, you know what, Abel? I need some of the portion of your herd to give to God as an offering, so I will be acceptable. My offering will be acceptable to God. Will you give me some? And I can't imagine in the world that Cain's ever going to do that to his younger brother unless he was absolutely humble, unless he absolutely had a desire to do what was right. And as you'll see in a minute, Cain was nowhere near there. False religion doesn't even worry about what God has to say. False religion, in fact, sometimes will even make things up. Have you ever talked to religious people and said, why do you go to that church? But because it's the religion I was born in. Well, do you agree with what that church teaches? Well, no, I don't. Well, then why do you go to that church? And you kind of see lights going off in the eyes. Well, I was born in that religion. So some people are part of religions. They don't even agree with what the religion teaches, but they go there because they were born in that religion. So often, false religion doesn't even care what God has to say, but it's basically saying, look, I'm just going to be sincere, do my best, and God has to accept that, right? That was all born here in Cain. It was all born here in Cain. Cain said that very thing, and I want you to know, we need to beware of that kind of thinking, of that kind of religion. It was only Abel who gave what was right. Why was Cain unwilling to do that? Why was Cain unwilling to humble his heart? Yeah, we sang the song that we want a humble and meek heart. We want to be a servant of God. Why was Cain unwilling to do that? Listen to what the Bible says about Cain. It's in 1 John 3. Listen to what it says. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Cain was evil. And because he was evil, he was unwilling to humble himself, go to his brother and ask what his brother had that he might have an acceptable offering to God. Could you imagine going throughout the entire history of mankind and the Bible says, do not be like you? Could you imagine if that was your name here instead of Cain and it said, do not be like you? Well, they offer their offering. God doesn't look well on Cain's offering. He looks well on Abel's offering. And then notice in verse 5 it says, so Cain was very angry and his face downcast. He was very angry and his face was downcast because God did not accept his offering. Well, why should God? His offering was given from an evil heart. He was very angry. The word angry or very means muchness or abundance or exceedingly. And the word angry means hot anger. It means to burn with anger. So Cain was burning with anger, and he wasn't just burning with anger, but he had a lot of burning with anger. The word downcast literally means to fall. When it's used figuratively, it means to frown or to be angry. Or to have a disconcerted appearance. Your face is literally hung. Because he did what his own heart thought he should do. He was unwilling to follow what God had said. He gave his offering with an evil heart, and then he was mad that God did not accept it. Secondly, tonight, take God's warnings seriously. Take God's warnings seriously. Look with me in verse 6. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Take God's warning seriously. Has anyone ever warned you of something? A number of years ago, in fact, when I was young, my older brother, my middle brother, he came running back to the house because he had been stung by a bunch of bees. Back in those days, we often went in the woods, we'd rake sticks off, and we'd pretend we were cowboys and Indians or soldiers, and, you know, we'd grab sticks, and they were our guns, and, you know, we would shoot with the stick. Well, he tried to get a stick in the woods, and while he was in the woods, a bunch of bees came from out underneath the stick where they evidently had a nest. They stung him, so he went running home. So he yelled at me, and he said, don't go down to the woods to get that stick, or you're going to get stung by bees. And you know what I said? I'm not afraid of bees. I'm going down and getting sticks, so I have a gun to shoot. So I went running down in the woods, and I pretty much knew where that stick was, and I went in to get my stick, and you had to, you know, break it off the roots and stuff, and I stepped right in the bee's nest. And I went running home crying. I had 8 bees hanging out of my ankle, and, you know, it's what made me allergic to bees to this day. I wasn't willing to listen to his warning. Besides, he was my older brother. I hardly ever listened to my older brother. Can you imagine? This is God. God says to him, hey, sin is crouching at your door. If you don't listen, you're in trouble. Or words to that effect. It's not just any warning, but it is a warning from God. It is a warning that he ought to have considered to the max because it was God warning him. But like many people today, we often don't take God's warning seriously, do we? We hear God say things in His Word, or people tell us about things that God has said in His Word, and we say, it doesn't matter. We hear people say, look, if you don't accept Jesus as your Savior, you're going to go to hell, and we say, it doesn't matter. We hear what the Bible says about a whole bunch of areas about living our life, and we hear people say, look, if you don't do what God wants you to do, God's going to punish you, and we say, it doesn't matter. I want you to know when you do that, you're being just like Cain. No different than Cain. You're hearing the warning that God has to say in His Word, and you're saying, it doesn't matter. And you're being just like Him. You're not taking God's warning seriously. You're making the very mistake He made, and it is a grave mistake. You need to take God's warning seriously. I want you to know that God's warning begins with three questions. Notice verse 6. Why are you angry? First question, why are you angry? And that's a question we ought to often ask ourselves. Why are you angry? You know, I would bet at least half the time you ask that question and try to answer it, you would have no idea. You know, you get in a fight with your spouse and you're arguing for hours. And hours into the argument, someone comes by and says, hey, why are you angry? What was that we were arguing about? Why are you angry? Because you know, often you leave the reason you're angry and you just start shouting at each other. Why are you angry? I don't really remember. God says to him, why are you angry? You know what? He had no right to be angry. He did not do what God wanted him to do. He did his own thing. In fact, that's probably where we are most of the time. Just like Cain, we do our own little thing, and then when God punishes or God confronts us with our sin, we get angry. I would guess that most of the time when we're angry, we have no right to be angry. I would guess that most of the time that we're angry with somebody else, usually we really don't have a reason to be angry that's legitimate. Cain, why are you angry? He's trying to get at Cain's heart. Cain, what are you doing? You know you have no right to be angry. Why are you angry? That's the second question. Why is your face downcast? Again, the word means to fall. His face kind of, you know, he's hung. If you have children, you've seen it in your children. You know, you just seen sometimes where the face, it's fallen. He had no right to be downcast. Third question, or statement, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Cain, you know if you do the right thing, God will accept you, so what's the problem here? All you really got to do is to do the right thing. This makes me again think that he knew what the right thing was to do. If you do what is right, I want you to know tonight, if you do the right thing, I want you to know God will accept you. But if you do not do the right thing, God's not going to accept you. It's that simple. If you go to God's Word, you listen to God's Word, you obey God's Word, you follow God's Word, you will be accepted. You leave your phone on during church and it starts beeping, I want you to know you will not be accepted, and I will stare at you. And you will be, it's her phone?
It's her phone.
It's her phone. Don't you love it when your kids point to you and say, it's her? Yeah, she's not going to cover it for you at all. It's your phone. If you do what is right, you're going to be accepted. If you don't do what is right, you're not going to be accepted. It's pretty much that simple. Same for your life tonight. If you do the right thing, God's going to accept you. If you don't do the right thing, God's not. I don't know why people think that I could do everything wrong and somehow in the end God's going to say it's okay. I don't know how people can think somehow I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not going to listen to God at all. I don't care what the Bible has to say, even though it's God's word. I'm going to do my own thing and somehow in the end it's all going to work out. I just don't know where people get that thinking from. God clearly tells Cain, if you do the right thing, you'll be accepted. If you don't, you won't. It's that simple. So notice the statement. If you do it as right, but if you do it as right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Sin is crouching at your door. The word crouching means to lie down. But it does not mean to kind of relax or to rest or to fall asleep. It is like my cat. My cat sometimes will see squirrels or birds or especially rabbits, and it will lay in the grass. And you ever see, I'm not going to do it. You ever see a cat, it kind of wiggles its behind? It's laying on the ground, but it's wiggling its behind. I'm not going to do it. And you know that that cat is getting ready to jump. That cat, you know, that can't wait to take off, and it's getting ready to jump on something, and it's going to eat it and tear it apart. That's the idea of this word here. That sin as an entity, spoken as a thing, is waiting, and it is crouching at the door, and it's waiting for you to come out, and it desires to have you. The word desire is a word that means reign or have dominion. In other words, sin is ready, it's crouching, it's ready as soon as you come out that door to take control of your life, to reign in your life, to have dominion in your life, to rule your life. That is what sin wants to do. It wants to control you. And isn't that exactly what sin does? I mean, you get your life involved in sin, and all it does is enslave you. And then you want to get away from it, and you find yourself struggling and struggling and struggling to get out of it. Cain, sin is crouching at your door. It wants to master you. But notice, but you must master it. You must be able to say no to it. You must be able to say no to your anger. You must be able to say no to your disobedience. You must be able to say no to sin's desire to have control in your life. But you must master it. So God warned them. God said, look, you got to watch out. Sin's ready to get you. Number 3, verse 8. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. God warned them. He didn't listen. Number 3, let your anger go down with the sun. Let your anger go down with the sun. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Let your anger go down with the sun. When, if you are angry with your spouse, should it cease? Well, immediately if possible, but you need to make sure before the day's out. When should your anger cease if you're angry with a friend? Well, immediately if possible, but definitely before the day's out. Let your anger go down with the sun. Don't be angry at your spouse for, you know, the next 8 days. Don't not talk to them and think you're going to punish them by, you know, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm just going to be cold. Let your anger go down with the sun. As the sun goes down, your anger's got to go down. If you don't do that, what are you doing? You're giving the devil a foothold in your life. Cain did not let his son go down with, or his anger go down with the sun. So he planned a murder of his brother. This is nothing less than premeditated murder. He says to his brother, let's go out in the field. When he gets out in the field, he kills him. Anger leads to bitterness. It can lead to murder, as we see here. It can lead to suicide. It can lead to gossip. It can lead to backbiting. It can lead to revenge. It can lead to all sorts of evil. Let your son go down, or let your anger go down with the sun. Unfortunately, Cain did not do that. Verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, where's your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? You know, when someone tries to avoid answering a question, I know usually they're trying to cover something up. You ever ask someone a question, they answer the question with a question? Number four, come to grips with the possible depth of the punishment. Come to grips with the possible depth of the punishment. Cain, where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, verse 10, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now listen, you're under a curse. You are and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crop for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. The Lord said to him, not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Now, there is much I'd like to show you from these passages, but since we have very little time, let me point into verse 13. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Cain did not listen to God. He disobeyed God when it came to the offering. He disobeyed God when he warned him about the warning of what could happen because of his anger. He didn't listen to God at all. Finally, God's judgment falls on him. God brings this punishment out as a result of what Cain did, his disobedience. And then Cain says, you know what? This is more than I can bear. What was his punishment? He could not produce crops. Remember, that's what he did all his life. That's what he loved. He was a farmer. He would wander the earth, and he would be driven from God's presence. And he said to God, this is more than I can bear. I want you to think for a moment. If God tells you not to do something, you do it. Don't you think God has a right to punish you whatever way he wants? And don't you think it is very possible that God's punishment might be more than what you can bear? And people go out and do all kinds of things, and they take all kinds of actions, and they often do them without thinking about the consequences. You know, someone gets drunk, and they get in the car, and they begin driving down the road, and they don't think that they might hit somebody and kill them. Destroy that family and their own family. Someone gets involved in drugs and they get addicted to drugs, and you know, when they first do it, they don't think whether the possible consequences might be. And you know what? It's the same thing. You disobey God and you don't think about the consequences. God tells you either to do or not do, and you say, well, I'm just going to do what I want to do, and you don't think about the consequences. But I want you to think for a moment that the possible consequences, the possible punishment, may be more than you can bear. I was talking to someone the other day, and they told me they wanted to commit suicide. And I asked them this question. Well, I asked them, why do you want to commit suicide? And they said, because I can't bear the trouble that I'm facing in this world. And I said, well, don't you think the trouble that you might be in after you leave this world might also be great? And they said, no, things are going to be really good. And I said, well, why? And they said, because I'm going to heaven. And I said, well, how do you know you're going to heaven? And I said, have you considered the fact that maybe you might not go to heaven? And that if you don't go to heaven, that the world you might go to will be even worse than here? So do you really want to commit suicide? I want you to know, when you choose to disobey God, that disobedience might bring about punishment that is greater than what you can bear. So before you do the thing, Think about the results and the consequences and the possible punishment. And it may keep you from doing something you ought not to do. Beware of false religion. Take God's warning seriously. Let your anger go down with the sun. And come to grips with the fact that punishment may be a whole lot worse than you can bear. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer.